Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Blood Oath in the Bayou, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. The first time I dumped a body in the bayou, I learned two things. Gators eat faster than guilt eats you, and Louisiana heat don't give a damn about your sins. But that was before the meth cartel. Before I found out the badge I'd bled for was rustier than a swamp knife. I crouched in the mud, the stink of diesel and rot thick in my nostrils, and watched the airboat cut through the cypress knees like a pissed-off hornet. Two Lapierre cartel runners, jacked on their own product, laughing like hyenas as they hauled a duffel bag of crystal to their buyers downriver. I'd been tracking them for 3 days. 3 days of sweat-soaked shirts, fire ant bites, and the kind of silence that makes you hear your dead wife's voice in the creak of the trees. "You gonna die out here, Jace," Lila used to say when I'd come home late from narcotics shifts, my knuckles split and my boots caked in swamp muck. And for what? A city that'd burn you alive for a headline. She wasn't wrong. I palmed the .45 at my hip, my gun now, not the department's, and waited. The boat slowed as it hit a snag of submerged logs. One of the runners, a kid with a face like undercooked gumbo, leaned over the edge to pry them loose. His buddy lit a cigarette, the flare of the match painting his acne scars orange. "Move your ass, Culion," Scarface barked. "We ain't got all night." I stood. The kid froze when he saw me, knee-deep in the black water, my shadow long and jagged in the moonlight. Scarface squinted, then reached for the shotgun at his feet. I shot him first. The .45 roared, kicking back like a mule. Scarface's head snapped sideways, his cigarette still dangling from his lips as he crumpled. The kid screamed, fumbling for a pistol, but I was already wading toward the boat. The water dragged at my legs, hungry. "Pee please," the kid begged, hands up. "I ain't done nothing. I just drive the boat." I grabbed him by the collar, hauling him close enough to smell the meth on his breath. "Where's the lab?" "I don't know. Swear to God." I pressed the barrel to his kneecap. "God's busy. Try me." He pissed himself. Warmth seeped down his leg, mixing with the swamp water. "Be Bayou Gulla. Old shrimp plant. That's where they cook it." I believed him. The fear in his eyes was the realest thing in this godforsaken swamp. "Merci," I said and pulled the trigger. His body hit the water with a splash. Already, the gators stirred, dark shapes gliding toward the blood. I didn't stick around to watch. Back at my shack, a rotting tin roof thing held together by termites and spite, I poured bourbon into a coffee mug and stared at the duffel bag I'd taken from the boat. 2 kilos of meth, wrapped in plastic like birthday presents. The client who'd hired me, some slick-suited ghost who called himself LeBlanc, wanted the cartel gutted. Didn't care how. Paid in cash, no questions. But I had questions. Like why the hell a cartel runner had an NOPD badge in his pocket. I fished it out of my coat, the metal cold, even in the humidity. The eagle emblem was scratched, the number etched below it half-rusted. Number 2174. My stomach turned. I knew that number. Lucas. My ex-partner. The man who'd stood beside me for 8 years, who'd taken a bullet for me in the 9th Ward, who'd vanished 6 months after I got kicked off the force. Internal Affairs said he'd quit. Moved to Texas. Changed his name. Bullshit. I tossed back the bourbon, the burn doing nothing to clean the taste of betrayal off my tongue. The badge glared at me from the table, accusatory. "You really think you're the only one they lied to, Crow?" I grabbed my boots and headed back out. The shrimp plant loomed in the distance, its metal skeleton rusted red, the windows blown out like dead eyes. They'd hung tarps over the gaps, yellow light bleeding through. Laughter echoed inside, deep, reckless. Cartel muscle. I slipped through the back, past a guard snoring over a nudie magazine, and climbed to the catwalk above the lab. Vats bubbled with chemical soup, the air so toxic it made my eyes water. For men worked below, masks hanging loose around their necks as they bagged product. One of them was Bones LeBlanc. I'd know that bastard anywhere. 6.5 feet of jailhouse tattoos and meth rage, with a voice like gravel in a blender. He'd put two of my sea ice in the morgue back when I wore a badge. Now here he was, alive and thriving. I dropped down behind him. Bonsoir, Bones. He spun, swinging a pipe wrench. I ducked, driving my elbow into his kidney. He roared, tackling me into a table. Glass shattered. A vial of acid sprayed, eating through the floor like demon spit. Terrio. He grinned, blood smeared on his teeth. Heard you was playing errand boy for the suits now. That true? I need him in the groin. Who's paying you? He wheezed, still grinning. Ain't you figured it out yet, Cher? You're the dog they sicked on us. Once we're dead, they'll put you down too. I pressed my knife to his throat. Who? His laugh rattled. Check the bodies. They'll tell you. I slit his throat. He died choking on his own punchline. The ride back to the bayou was a blur. Bones' body slumped in the passenger seat of my truck, his blood pooling around the NOPD badge I'd stuffed in his fist. The gators were waiting. Always waiting. I dragged him to the water's edge, the mud sucking at my boots. This one's on the house, I muttered, kicking him in. But as I turned to leave, something glinted in the moonlight. Bones' hand floated upward, rigor mortis already clawing his fingers into a fist. And tucked in his palm, not the badge I'd planted, but another. Shinier. Newer. Number 2174. Lucas's badge. The water churned as gators tore into Bones' corpse, but I didn't move. Couldn't. The truth hit me like a slug to the chest. Lucas wasn't in Texas. He was here. And he was dirty. Chapter 2, Ghosts in the Mist. The swamp's got a memory. It whispers with the voices of boys I grew up with, boys who became corpses, cops, or criminals. Now it's whispering about me. I drove through the storm with Bones' blood still crusted under my fingernails and Lucas's badge burning a hole in my pocket. Rain lashed the windshield like buckshot, and the wind screamed like Lila had screamed that night, raw, desperate final. The shrimp plant was behind me, but the lab wasn't the prize. The cartel's real nest was deeper in the basin, a rotting antebellum plantation called Belle Lune. Rumor was Marie-Laure LaPierre, the cartel queen, cooked her purest batches there. The kind of meth that could make a preacher sell his soul. But Belle Lune wasn't just a lab. It was a graveyard. I parked my truck a mile out, slogging through the mud with a rucksack of C4 and a .12-gauge Mossberg. The storm masked my footsteps, but it also turned the ground to quicksand. Cypress branches clawed at me, their Spanish moss hanging like nooses. Halfway there, I tripped over something pale in the muck. A bone. Human. The femur was picked clean, but the Nike sneaker still clinging to the foot told me it was a kid. Some runaway, maybe. Or a rival dealer. The swamp didn't discriminate. You still think you're the good guy, Jace? Lila's ghost whispered in my ear. Look at you. You're just another monster out here. I kept walking. Belle Lune rose out of the fog like a cancer. Its columns were blackened by rot, the porch sagging under the weight of old sins. Cartel SUVs lined the drive, engines still warm. Guards patrolled the perimeter, their silhouettes backlit by generator-powered floodlights. I counted 6. All armed. All high, jittery pupils and trigger fingers. I circled to the back, where the storm had knocked down a live oak, smashing a hole in the kitchen wall. The stench hit me first, ammonia, sweat, and the sweet rot reek of meth cooking. I slipped inside, my boots crunching over broken china and syringes. Voices echoed from the parlor. Shipment's late, cause of that Conass crow, a man snarled. He took out Bones and the Bayou Gullah lab. Roland said he'd handle it. Roland. Deputy Chief Armand Roland. My old mentor. The man who'd pinned his own dirty raids on me, who'd stood in court and called me a rogue cop. The man who'd signed my divorce papers from the NOPD. My fingers tightened around the shotgun. They'd turned the parlor into a meth factory. Glassware bubbled over propane burners, and a shirtless kid with track marks up his arms stirred a vat of liquid fire. Two enforcers played cards at a table, a brick of cash and a pile of Glocks between them. A security camera blinked in the corner. I didn't hesitate. The Mossberg bucked in my hands, and the first enforcer's chest exploded in a red mist. The second dove for his gun, but I pumped another round into his throat. The cook screamed, scrambling for the door, but I grabbed him by the hair and slammed his face into the meth vat. His sizzling flesh smelled like pork. I gagged but didn't let go. Where's Marie-Laure? G gone, he gurgled. Left for Nolan's at sundown. P please. I broke his neck. The camera was still blinking. I yanked the hard drive from the DVR, stuffing it into my rucksack. Footsteps pounded upstairs, more guards. I ducked into a closet as they thundered down, their shouts drowned by the storm. Find him. Cut his goddamn head off. I waited, counted to 10, then slipped out and planted C4 charges on the support beams. The timers were set for 5 minutes, long enough to find answers. The upstairs hallway was lined with doors, all locked except one. Inside, a surveillance monitor flickered, showing feeds from labs and stash houses across the basin. But it was the folder on the desk that froze me, stamped NOPT confidential. Photos spilled out. Me, Lila, our old house in the Marigny, and a coroner's report. Cause of death, thermal burns, blunt force trauma. Incident ruled arson. Bullshit. Lila hadn't died in a fire. She'd been executed. Flashback, 2 years ago. I came home to our shotgun house in the rain. The door was kicked in. Lila lay in the hallway, her face beaten raw, a bullet hole between her eyes. A note pinned to her chest with a gutting knife. Stop digging. The cops called it a burglary. Roland hugged me at the funeral, reeking of bourbon and lies. We'll get whoever did this, Jace. But I knew. I'd been sniffing around Roland's off-the-books raids. The ones where drugs disappeared and dealers wound up dead with cash in their pockets. The night Lila died, I'd found a ledger in his desk. He beat me to the punch. The storm howled louder. I stuffed the folder into my rucksack and moved to the window. Lightning flashed, illuminating the yard below. A man stood in the rain, staring up at me. Big. Huge. 7 feet tall, with a gatorskin duster and a face like chewed leather. Ruguru. The cartel's bogeyman. Rumor was he'd once ripped a DEA agent in half barehanded. He grinned, teeth filed to points, and raised a machete. I blew out the window with the Mossberg and jumped. The roof's edge caught my ankle, and I hit the mud hard, the breath knocked out of me. Ruguru lunged, his machete slicing the air where my head had been. Roland sends his love, Kulyan, he growled. Says you ain't learned your lesson yet. I rolled, firing the shotgun one-handed. The blast tore through his duster, but he didn't flinch. Just laughed. Heard your wife begged real pretty, he said, swinging again. My boys said she cried your name, for they put her down. Click. The Mossberg was empty. Ruguru kicked it into the mud and grabbed my throat, lifting me off the ground. Gonna send you to her in pieces, foe. I stabbed him in the eye with my knife. He dropped me howling, and I scrambled back. But he wasn't done. He ripped the knife out, blood gushing down his face, and charged. We crashed into the flooded sugar cane field, the water up to our waists. He swung the machete wildly, cursing in Cajun French. I ducked, grabbed a rusted chain from the mud, and lashed it around his neck. Tell Roland I'm coming for him, I hissed, twisting the chain. And when I find him, I'll feed him his own goddamn heart. Ruguru gurgled, clawing at the links. You're dead. Crow. I tightened the chain until his eyes bulged. Then I held him under until the bubbles stopped. The C4 charges blew as I hit the tree line. Bell Loon erupted in a fireball, the shockwave knocking me to my knees. Debris rained down, burning timber, chunks of marble, body parts. I watched it burn, the hard drive heavy in my rucksack. Back at the truck, I cracked the drive open. The surveillance footage was there. Roland meeting Marie-Laure, handing her bricks of cash, laughing over a bottle of bourbon. But it was the last clip that broke me. Security cam footage of Lila's murder. Two cops in ski masks. One holding her down. The other pressing the gun to her head. Their badges glinted in the flash. NOPD. Number 2174. Lucas. I vomited into the mud. Chapter 3. The Judas List. Loyalty's a currency in the bayou. Problem is, everybody's spending somebody else's. I sat in the cab of my truck, rain slapping the roof like a pissed-off drummer, and stared at the security footage on the cracked laptop. Lucas's face filled the screen, his NOPD badge gleaming as he pressed the gun to Lila's temple. The audio was all static, but I didn't need sound. Her mouth shaped my name, Jace, before the muzzle flash erased her. I'd watched it 13 times. 14. 15. The bourbon in my gut curdled, but I didn't stop. I let it carve me hollow. When the laptop battery died, I smashed it against the dashboard. Fuck. The scream tore out of me, raw and animal. I punched the steering wheel until my knuckles split, until blood smeared the bourbon stains. Outside, the storm raged, the swamp hissing like a nest of cottonmouths. But under the rage, cold clarity hardened. Lucas was alive, and I was going to make him beg to die. The ledger was hidden in a rusted ammo box under Bell Loon's ruins. I'd missed it during the blast, but the storm washed the mud clean, exposing the steel like a taunt. Inside, waterlogged pages listed names, dates, and dollar amounts. Cops. Lawyers. A fucking judge. All on the Lapierre cartel's payroll. Roland. 25. K. / M. O. L. U. C. A. S. 25K/MO Lucas, 15K/MO plus cleanup. St. Martin, DA, $10,000 per MO. The last entry made me freeze. Terrio J, $0 terminated. They'd put me on the list. A zero. A ghost. A joke. I crammed the ledger into a Ziploc and tucked it into my coat. The rain had turned the ruins to a slaughterhouse stew, charred wood, melted plastic, and the sweet rot stink of cooked meat. I stepped over a half-burnt arm, the cartel's wolf head tattoo still visible on the bicep, and froze. Footprints. Fresh. Small, booted, leading into the cane fields. I palmed my .45. She was waiting in a poacher's shack, the kind trappers used to skin gators. Candles flickered on a makeshift altar. Virgin Mary statues, crow feathers, a jar of black salt. Evangeline LeBlanc, Lucas's sister, sat cross-legged on the dirt floor, shuffling tarot cards. Her dreadlocks were streaked with gray, her face a roadmap of hard living. "Took you long enough, Cher," she said, not looking up. "Sit. You're bleeding on my floor." I kept the gun raised. "Where's Lucas?" She laid a card. "The hanged man, you're chasing hell. Lucas ain't your brother no more. He's what the swamp made him." "Bullshit." I kicked the altar, sending candles rolling. "He killed my wife. He's yours. Where is he?" Her eyes met mine, sharp as broken glass. "You think you want the truth? Truth ain't got no mercy here." She flicked another card, the tower, beside the first. "You'll burn it all down. Even yourself." I grabbed her wrist, pressing the .45 to her palm. "Try again." She didn't flinch. "Check the old Dumont place. Midnight. He'll be there with Roland's boys." A pause. "But you ain't ready for what you'll find." I let her go. "Why help me?" She smiled bitter. "Lucas killed my son. Fed him to the gators for skimming product." She spat on the tower card. "Burn him good, Crow." The Dumont place was a decaying motel off Highway 90, once a pit stop for truckers and cheating spouses. Now it was a cop stash house. NOPD cruisers parked out back, their badges as dirty as the sheets inside. I crouched in the tree line, watching shadows move behind curtains. Laughter spilled out, drunk and cruel. Flashback. Lucas and me, 5 years ago, staking out a meth den in the Ninth Ward. Him tossing me a lukewarm coffee. "You look like shit, brother." Me grinning. Says the guy who fucked a swear jar. The ache in my chest wasn't from the bullet graze on my ribs. I loaded the Mossberg. They were in room 7, three cops and wife beaters, playing poker with bricks of cash. The air reeked of weed and gun oil. Deputy Royce, a bloated prick who'd busted me for resisting during the frame job, dealt the cards. "Theriot's gotta be dead by now," Royce slurred. "Rugera don't miss." "Hope not," said a skinny cop with a meth twitch. "I want to be there when Roland cuts his." I kicked in the door. The Mossberg spoke first. Royce's head vaporized, painting the wall with his IQ. Twitchy drew his piece, but I blew his hand off at the wrist. The third cop lunged for an AR-15 in the corner. I shot him in the spine, watched him crawl like a broken cockroach. Twitchy whimpered, clutching his stump. "Pee please. I got kids." I crouched, pressing the .45 to his good hand. "Where's Lucas?" He's got a crew at the docks. The old shrimp boats. They're moving product tonight. And Roland. He's with them. They're planning a cleanup. Feds are coming, so they're tying loose ends, ah. I crushed his fingers under my boot. "What loose ends?" "Why you? The ledger. They're gonna sink the evidence. Please." I stood. "Thanks for the tip." His sob turned to a gurgle as I shot him in the throat. The closet was stacked with duffel bags. Cash. Drugs. Guns. And a black case stamped "Nopped evidence." Inside, photos of me, eating at Waffle House, dumping bodies, meeting LeBlanc. Surveillance. Roland's surveillance. But the bottom photo froze my blood. Lila, alive, grocery shopping. Dated 2 days before her murder. Roland had been watching her. Planning her. I tucked the photo into my vest, next to her funeral mask card. Then I doused the room in gasoline, lit a match, and walked away. The bullet hit me as I hit the tree line. a searing punch to the ribs. I crashed into the mud, the Mossberg skidding out of reach. Behind me, a cop emerged from the burning motel, his uniform on fire, screaming as he fired wild shots. "Burn, you bastard." I drew the .45, aimed between his flaming eyes. Click. Empty. He laughed, raising his revolver. "Hell's waitin', crows." The motel's gas tank blew, swallowing his words in a fireball. The blast threw me into the swamp, the mud sucking me down. I clawed at the muck, ribs screaming, as the world faded to black. Chapter 4. Baptism in Blood. You want to survive the bayou? You gotta become meaner than the gators and twice as cold. But some days, all I feel is the fire. I woke up choking on swamp water, my ribs screaming like a banshee in a bear trap. The motel's flames still flickered in the distance, but the rain had reduced it to a smoldering skeleton. My hand went to my side, probing the bullet wound. Slick blood, torn flesh, but no exit hole. The slug was still in there, nesting in me like a parasite. "Get up," Lila's ghost hissed, "or you'll drown in 3 inches of water." I crawled. The mud tried to claim me, but I clawed forward, inch by inch, until the trees thickened and the stink of smoke faded. I didn't know where I was going. Didn't care. Every breath was a knife twist, every heartbeat a war drum. Then I smelled herbs. Lemongrass. Sage. The sharp tang of whiskey. A shack materialized through the rain, its porch cluttered with mason jars full of murky liquid and animal bones. A shotgun leaned against the doorframe, and a handwritten sign hung crookedly, "N.O. Solicitors." "No cops. No God." I collapsed against the door. She found me there, half-dead and delirious. Delphine Robichaud, trapper, healer, and full-time misanthrope. She dragged me inside by my collar, cursing in Creole French, and dumped me on a table cluttered with dried roots and rusted surgical tools. "Fils de putain, you bleed on my snakeskins. I'll feed you to the gators myself," she snarled, slicing open my shirt with a boning knife. I grabbed her wrist. "Who are you?" She smirked, gold-capped teeth glinting. "The bitch who's gonna dig that bullet out your ribs. Now shut up and bite this." She shoved a leather strap between my teeth. No warning. No mercy. The knife went in. Flashback. 2 years ago, Lila stitching up my shoulder after a dealer's switchblade found its mark. Our kitchen table, her hands steady, her voice shaking. "You can't keep doing this, Jace. You're gonna get killed." Me laughing, wincing. "Who'd miss me?" Her slap stung more than the wound. "I would, you stupid asshole." Delphine's voice yanked me back. "You crying, Dur?" I wasn't, but my cheeks were wet. She held up the bullet, blackened and twisted, then dropped it into a jar with others. "Lapierre's boys use hollow points. Cheap shit. Roland's cops? Federal issue." She poured whiskey over the wound. "Guess which one you got." The burn made me see stars. "Why help me?" She lit a cigarillo, the smoke curling around her face. "Marie-Laure killed my brother. Staked him in the swamp, let the gators eat him alive while he screamed." Her eyes hardened. I aimed to return the favor. I sat up, dizzy. "Then we want the same thing." She blew smoke in my face. "Non. You want revenge. I want justice. They ain't the same." 3 days. That's how long I stayed in her shack. 3 days of fever dreams, bitter tonics, and Delphine's sharp tongue. She changed my bandages, fed me gumbo laced with enough hot sauce to melt steel, and didn't ask about the photo of Lila I clutched in my sleep. On the fourth morning, she tossed me a fresh shirt. "You're healing ugly, but you'll live. Now get out. I ain't your mama." I didn't move. "I need your help. Help." She laughed. "You need Jesus and a time machine, share." I slid the ledger across the table. "Roland's funding the cartel to bankroll his mayoral campaign. He's laundering it through shell companies, fishing charters, bait shops. I need proof." She flipped through the pages, her smirk fading. "This name's half the NOPD. And a judge. The DA. Your brother's death." I tapped an entry, LeBlanc, E. $5,000 per MO, terminated noncompliance. "Marie-Laure didn't kill him. Roland did." She closed the ledger. "What you a skin? The money's moving tonight. Big shipment at the docks. I need to hit it, get footage, leak it to the feds." She studied me, then reached under the table and tossed me a machete. "You'll need more than that." The docks stank of diesel and dead shrimp. Moonlight glinted off the harbor's black water, where 3 trawlers floated, their hulls packed with meth. Cops and cartel thugs worked side by side, loading crates into trucks. Roland stood on the captain's deck of the lead trawler, sipping bourbon with Marie-Laure. She was smaller than I expected, bird-boned, with a crown of black braids and a smile like a straight razor. Delphine and I crouched behind a stack of crab traps, her crossbow aimed at the guard patrolling the pier. "You sure about this?" she muttered. "No, I checked the .45, fully loaded." "You," she snorted. "I followed you, didn't I?" The guard paused, lighting a cigarette. Delphine's bolt took him through the throat. Chaos erupted. We hit them like a hurricane. Delphine's crossbow picked off cartel shooters while I charged the trawler, machete in one hand, .45 in the other. A cop lunged at me. I buried the blade in his collarbone, using his body as a shield as I fired up the gangplank. Roland spotted me. "Terrio!" Marie-Laure hissed an order, and her men closed ranks. I kept moving, driven by the photo in my pocket and the ghost at my ear. "Make them pay," Lila whispered. A bullet grazed my thigh. Another tore through my sleeve. I didn't stop. Delphine's voice cut through the gunfire. "Crow! Down!" I dropped as her bolt whistled overhead, impaling the cartel thug about to slice my throat. "Merci!" I shouted. "VAT faire foutre," she shot back, already reloading. I made the captain's deck. Roland was gone, but Marie-Laure stood her ground, a pearl-handled revolver in her hand. "Ah, the famous Crow. You look decu." I aimed the .45. "Where's Lucas?" She smiled. "Close. Watching. Waiting." She stepped closer, unfazed by the gun. "You could join us, Sherry. Roland's weak. I need a real predator." I laughed. "You offering a job?" "Non." Her gaze dropped to Lila's photo, now blood-smeared and tattered. "I'm offering peace. Walk away. Bury your dead. Live." For a heartbeat, I almost considered it. Then Delphine screamed. A cop had her pinned, his knife at her throat. Marie-Laure's revolver cocked. "Choose, Crow. Your war, or her life." Delphine met my eyes, furious, fearless. "Burn it all." I pulled the trigger. Marie-Laure's shot went wide as my bullet tore through her shoulder. She stumbled, cursing, as I lunged for the trawler's gas tank. "Jace!" Delphine's voice. The cop's knife flashed. Her scream died in a wet gurgle. I didn't think. Didn't feel. I shot the gas tank. The explosion lit up the harbor, fire racing across the water, swallowing trawlers and trucks and men. Marie-Laure vanished in the blaze, Roland's bourbon bottle shattering as he fled. I crawled to Delphine. Too late. She lay in a pool of blood, the crossbow still clutched in her hand. Her eyes found mine, fierce to the end. "Told you justice, ain't revenge." Then she was gone. I carried her body into the swamp, the fire glowing behind me like hell's own sunrise. The gators circled, but I fired a warning shot, and they backed off. "You deserved better," I muttered, laying her in the mud. The water took her slowly. I didn't stay to watch. Chapter 5. The Hollow Badge. Truth is a bullet. It don't care who you hit. I stood in the rain outside Roland's mansion, Delphine's blood still crusted under my nails, and wondered how many lies a man could stack up before they crushed him. The place was a gaudy tomb, white columns, wrought iron gates, and security cameras that blinked like hungry eyes. The kind of house bought with dead girls and burned evidence. The kind of house Lila and I used to drive past and laugh. "Who the hell needs a chandelier in Louisiana?" she'd say. "Ain't no class in crystal, just debt." Now I was gonna burn it down. The security system was top tier, but Roland had taught me how to crack it back when he was my mentor and not the rat-fuck bastard who'd ordered my wife's murder. I disabled the cameras, jimmied the lock on the servant's entrance, and slipped into the marble foyer. The air smelled like cigars and regret. Upstairs, Roland's office was a shrine to his ego. Framed photos of him shaking hands with senators. A gold-plated NOPD badge under glass. And a safe behind a painting of him standing on the steps of St. Louis Cathedral, grinning like he'd already sold his soul. The combination was Lila's birthday. Of course it was. Inside the safe, stacks of cash, a diamond necklace that had gone missing from an evidence locker 3 years ago, and a manila folder labeled Project Clean Sweep. I flipped it open. Operative: Lucas Terrio, asset number 2174. Objective: eliminate Jace Terrio. Discredit NOPD internal affairs. Secure LaPierre cartel partnership. Note: genetic confirmation of paternity attached. The blood in my veins turned to ice. Genetic report: Armand Roland, 99.98% probability of paternity. Lucas. His son. The kid we'd pulled out of a crack den when he was 16. The kid I'd vouched for, trained, called brother. All this time, Roland's blood ran in his veins. His legacy. I sank into Roland's leather chair, the photo of Lila trembling in my hand. She'd known. That's why she'd begged me to quit. Why she'd said the department was a family I couldn't trust. Flashback. Lucas, age 19, handing me a beer after his first bust. You're the only family I got, Jace. Me clinking the bottle. Ain't no one else dumb enough to put up with you. The lie tasted like gunpowder. Headlights cut through the rain. Roland's black Escalade rolled up the drive. I stuffed the folder into my jacket, grabbed the diamond necklace. Fuck it, maybe I'd pawn it for bourbon, and slid out the window as the front door opened. Every trawler sunk, every ledger burned. Roland barked into his phone. And find Terrio. I want his head on a. I dropped onto the roof of the Escalade, then into the driver's seat. The engine roared. Jace. Roland's face, purpling with rage, filled the rearview mirror. I hit the gas. You're gonna answer for Lila, I said. He lunged for the wheel. You psychotic son of a. I swerved into a ditch, his head smashing the window. The car fishtailed, flipped, and slammed into a tombstone in the cemetery across the road. St. Roche's graveyard. Iron crosses tilted in the mud, the names weathered off. The storm had flooded the plots, water pooling like the swamp was reclaiming its dead. Roland crawled from the wreck, his suit torn, blood dripping from his scalp. You're finished, Terrio. The feds are already on their way. You think you're exposing me? You're just digging your own grave. I waded toward him, the water waist deep. Where's Lucas? He laughed, spitting red. Closer than you think. The bullet tore through my side before I heard the shot. I turned. Lucas stood on the levee, a .44 Magnum in his hand, his face a mask of cold hate. No trace of the kid I'd known. Just Roland's eyes in a killer's face. Been waiting for this, brother, he said. We circled each other in the flooded graveyard, the rain slashing sideways. My blood swirled in the water, pink tendrils curling around mossy headstones. Lucas's shirt clung to him, the Wolfhead Cartel tattoo snarling over his heart. All those years, I said. You knew. He shrugged. Pop didn't want me till I proved I was worth a damn. So I proved it. He tapped the tattoo. By putting a bullet in your whore. I lunged. We crashed into the water, fists and fury. He was younger, faster, but I was meaner. I headbutted him, felt his nose crunch. He kneed my gut, the bullet wound screaming. We rolled, grappled bit. You're a joke, he spat. A washed-up cop playing hitman. Pop's been laughing at you for years. I slammed his head into a tombstone. And you're his rabid dog. He laughed, blood bubbling on his lips. Better a dog than a dead man. He pulled a knife, slashed my arm. I grabbed his wrist, twisted until the bone snapped. He howled, the knife sinking into the mud. Why Lila? I hissed, pinning him. He grinned. Pop's orders. Had to make sure you'd break. Had to make sure you'd run. Flashback. Lila's laugh, her hand in mine at Jazz Fest. You're stuck with me, Terrio. I drove my thumb into his bullet wound. He screamed. You should have killed me, I said. He spat in my face. Working on it. The fight turned feral. We tore at each other like gators over a carcass, the graveyard our battleground. He stabbed me with a rusted crucifix. I broke his arm with a brick. We drowned each other in puddles, surfaced gasping, and went back for more. In the end, it was the swamp that decided. He tackled me into a sunken crypt, the water closing over our heads. We sank, tangled in bones and weeds, his hands around my throat. Bubbles streamed from his mouth as he screamed silent curses. I found the knife in the muck, plunged it into his gut. Again. Again. His grip loosened. Blood bloomed between us, dark and thick. We surfaced, him gasping, me holding his head above water as the life leaked out of him. You were never family, he choked. I leaned close. Neither were you. I let go. The gators came fast. Roland watched from the wrecked Escalade, his leg trapped under the dashboard. I waded toward him, the folder in my hand. You raised a good soldier, I said. Too bad he died like a bitch. He trembled, the facade crumbling. Jace, please, I can make it right. Money, power, whatever you want. I opened the folder, shoved the paternity report in his face. You made him this. You made me this. He sobbed. It was just business. I took his gold-plated badge from the safe. Pressed it into his palm. Then die like a businessman. I walked away as the gators closed in. His screams didn't last long. Chapter 6, Requiem in the Rain. They say the bayou takes everything. But tonight? Tonight, I'm giving it back. The hurricane screamed like a widow at a funeral, bending cypress trees into supplicants. Rain fell sideways, sharp as buckshot, and the swamp churned like a living thing, hungry and cold. I stood on the rotting deck of the Marie Claire, the last of the Lapierre cartel's meth barges, and watched the gas cans roll at my feet. The lighter in my hand felt heavier than the .45 on my hip. Roland's confession buzzed in my pocket, a live stream looping on the burner phone I'd duct-taped to the mast. His voice, tinny and broken, played on repeat for the FBI agents I knew were scrambling toward the basin. I funded the cartel, ordered Lila Theriot's murder, my son Lucas, over and over, a dirge of guilt. All I needed was an audience. Marie-Laure came first. Her airboat cut through the flooded cane fields, its engine a growl under the storm. She stood at the bow, braids whipping like snakes, a shotgun in her hands. Behind her, Roland's Escalade plowed through the muck, headlights slicing the rain. He'd brought friends, three cops in riot gear, their badges swapped for cartel bandanas. C.A. Suffolk Crow. Marie-Laure's shout barely reached me. You want to burn? Burn alone. I raised the lighter, the flame fighting the wind. You first, share. The Escalade skidded to a stop. Roland stumbled out, his tailored suit soaked through, his face a roadmap of panic. Terrio. Don't. The feds are listening. You think this makes you a hero? You're just a fucking murderer. I laughed. Ain't no heroes here. Just sinners and gators. Flashback. Lila and me, dancing barefoot in a summer storm. Her head on my chest, her voice soft. You ever think about leaving? Just driving till the road ends. Me kissing her hair. Road never ends, darling. Just circles back. The memory choked me. I flicked the lighter. Non. Marie-Laure raised her shotgun. You die, the truth dies with you. Truth's like a bullet, I said. Already fired. I dropped the flame. The gas cans erupted, fire racing across the barge's deck. The heat kissed my skin, the blaze reflected in Marie-Laure's widened eyes. She fired, wild, desperate, as the world turned orange and black. Chaos. The cops scattered, screaming as flames licked their boots. Roland clawed at the Escalade's door, his screams lost in the roar. Marie-Laure leapt onto the barge, her shotgun discarded, a knife in her hand. Enfant de Salade, she hissed. This is mine. We collided in the inferno, two ghosts refusing to die. Her knife grazed my ribs, my fist shattered her jaw. She spat blood, lunged again, and we fell against the mast, the phone still broadcasting Roland's sins. You ruin everything, she screamed. I headbutt her. Funny. I was gonna say the same. The barge groaned, listing sideways as the fire ate its bones. Marie-Laure scrambled for the edge, but I caught her ankle, dragging her back. Let go, she shrieked. Why? I snarled. You didn't let go of Lila. Her free foot slammed into my bullet wound. I gasped, loosening my grip, and she crawled toward the water. But the swamp was waiting. A gator's jaws closed around her leg. She screamed, clawing at the deck as it pulled her under. Non. Non. I stood, bloodied and broken, and watched the water churn. Hell's waiting, Cher, I muttered. Save me a seat. Roland tried to run. His Escalade fishtailed in the mud, wheels spinning. I waded through the flood, the fire at my back, and yanked open the driver's door. Jace, he sobbed. Please. I hauled him out, his polished shoes sinking into the muck. The storm raged around us, the world reduced to water and rage. You took her, I said. He trembled. I gave you a career. A family. I pressed his gold-plated badge into his palm. Here's your legacy. Then I shot him in the gut. He fell, clutching the badge, his screams blending with the wind. The gators'll take you slow, I said. Think about that. The barge collapsed, the mast crashing into the swamp. I stumbled toward the tree line, the firelight fading, my body numb. The FBI would find Roland's confession. The headlines would spin. New Orleans would keep breathing, rotten and beautiful. But me? I sank to my knees in the water, the rain softening now, the storm passing. The gators circled, patient. You did good, cowboy. Lila's voice, warm in my ear. I smiled. Took you long enough. The first bite didn't hurt. Epilogue. 3 days later. The bayou kept its secrets. FBI divers found Roland's body, half-eaten, the badge still in his fist. Marie-Laure's bones turned up in a gator's nest. The headlines screamed corruption, the mayor resigned, and a rookie agent got a promotion. My name faded to a footnote. But sometimes, when the storm rolls in off the gulf, the old trappers swear they hear a .45 echo through the cypress trees. Lila was right. The road never ends. It just circles back.